Psalm 16. You turn to Psalm 16. This is a class act from a child or a teen. Complain about school, and we're doing school work all year long. Complain, just don't like school. And then the second week into summer break, same child says,
I'm bored.
At least that's the way I used to do it. Okay? Boredom. It was the scourge of mankind, one of them anyway. It seems to be one of the things that we battle, is the battle of boredom. I echoed one of my professors when I got into this thing called preaching. I made a vow to myself that when I preach the word, if I'm going to be a preacher of the word, two promises I make to myself. Number one, I'm never going to go overtime. And number two, I will not be boring. And in 22 years of preaching, I haven't gone overtime once. So, boring. Okay. You know, we've been looking at the atmosphere of heaven for the last couple of weeks. And we've seen a few things, like heaven's going to be have an atmosphere of time and an atmosphere of emotions and desires, that sort of thing. But what will we do there when we get to glory? What exactly will we do? Well, there's two things I've really been trying to combat in this whole series on heaven. Number one, I've been trying to combat the idea that there's things we're going to miss in this life when we get to the next. I've been trying to combat that idea. And the second idea I've been trying to combat is that heaven will be boring. Science fiction writer Isaac, I think it's Asimov, he wrote this. He says, I don't believe in an afterlife, so I don't have to spend my whole life fearing hell or fearing heaven even more. For whatever the tortures of hell, I think the boredom of heaven would be even worse. That's akin to those who say, I'd rather have a good time in hell than be bored in heaven. I don't mean to be calloused when I say this, folks, but Mr. Asimov, and to others like him, you will not have a good time in hell. And you most certainly will not be bored when you're there. But I also want to say to you born-again believers, you will not be bored in heaven. It will not be a place of boredom. In fact, we got to be really careful with this idea of being bored in heaven, because if you think that at all, you're buying into Satan's slander of God's dwelling place. Remember Revelation 13:6, which says, then he, Satan, opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. Satan blasphemes God's saints and where they live, in heaven. And so, I think Satan has planted a bunch of misconceptions in the mind of both believers and unbelievers alike. And this, one of those misconceptions is that hell is boring. Misconception that gives unbelievers a false comfort in hell and gives true believers a discomfort in heaven. So why don't we dismantle a few of these misconceptions that are really easy to buy into, and let's take those apart biblically. I think the first misconception we want to deal with is that hell is a place where friends will laugh together. Hell is a place where friends will laugh together. People say that. Billy Joel sang a song, Only the Good Die Young. Hit the charts. I think it was number one for a long time. And the people love that song. Christians that I know of love that song, and they're not really listening. Do you know who the good is in that song? It might specifically be Catholics, because that's who Billy Joel has a vendetta against. But the idea of believing in God and going to heaven, you're the good, and you die young. Whereas the sinners, man, they live long, joyful lives, and in that song he says, man, I'd rather laugh with the sinners than cry with the saints. So, see, that's the idea. That hell is going to be a place where friends will laugh together. Well, joyous laughter and fellowship is something that will happen in heaven, not hell. Hell is a place of isolation. It's a place of torment. It's void of the loving presence of God. speaking to unbelieving Jews, Jesus Christ said in Luke 13:28, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God and you yourselves thrust out. And in fact, we already saw that in the New Testament. Remember the rich man and Lazarus? And the rich man was in the torments of Hades, and he saw Abraham. And that rich man was not rich anymore. He was not laughing. He was not joyous. He was not with his friends. He was in torment, gnashing his teeth. No joy there. Hell is a place of weeping, not laughter. And people are kidding themselves. So many of the 1970s and 80s hard rock groups. Yeah, we know we're going to hell, and when we get there, we're just going to party for eternity. No, there will be no parties. And I really doubt they will be bored, that's for sure. But it won't be an excitement of joy by any means. Heaven is such a contrast to that. Take a look at Psalm 16. Psalm 16 says in verse 11, the psalmist says to God, "You will show me the path of life in your presence," and that's eternal life, by the way, "in your presence is fullness of joy." In the presence of God, in the fullness of his presence, when you're in glory, there will be joy. That joy is a wonderful word. Joy is something that doesn't come from things that happen to you on the outside. It's that which comes from the inside, regardless of what's going on without. It's that peace, that contentment, that's so glad to be God's child. In fact, you know what I've discovered? The rougher things are on the outside, the more glad I am on the inside I am God's child. Because this life is temporary. But the fullness of God waits for me in heaven. He also says, in the rest of that verse, he says, "At your right hand are," notice, "pleasures forevermore." In eternity, there'll be pleasure. See, that's heaven for you. Pleasure. That is to be well pleased. That's a good thing. God takes pleasure in faithfulness. Takes pleasure in his faithful children. Definitely took pleasure in his son, Jesus Christ. And we can take pleasure in God now. We will have nothing but pleasure in heaven. And then, I just want to turn to Luke 6, verse 21, and read this to you. Luke 6:21 says, Christ said, "Blessed are you who hunger now, for you shall be filled." Christ is looking ahead to glory, is what he's doing. He's looking to heaven. And he says, "Blessed are you weep now, for you shall laugh." In verse 23, he says, "Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for indeed your reward is great in heaven." So not only is heaven going to have joy and pleasure, it's going to have laughter. Do you know that? You're going to laugh with joy in heaven. Check this out. Someone will ask, "But won't it be boring being good all the time in heaven?" That would be boring being good all the time. Have you ever thought that?
Care to confess?
Here's what this misconception is with that question. It's based on the misconception of number two, that only sin is fun and exciting while righteousness is boring. Only sin is fun and exciting. But when righteousness sets in, things get boring. Folks, it is a lie of Satan that sin brings fulfillment when in fact sin robs you of fulfillment, steals it. Sin is a thief. It crushes your righteous dreams and leaves emptiness in its wake. You notice that? You discovered that, haven't you? But when righteousness reigns in the heart, the righteousness of Christ just fills your heart, and God is seen for what he truly is, an endless pool of holy fascination. Folks, boredom then becomes impossible. You cannot be bored when that's how you live your life. And that's how you're going to live forevermore in glory. There's no room for boredom. No room for boredom at all. I risk being called a blasphemer when I say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. Fun is not a three-letter word. Well, yeah, it is, but I mean, it's not a bad word. It's not a dirty word, okay? A Christian woman was once asked if we will have fun in heaven, and she said, absolutely not, as if, how could you even ask the question? Okay? No one won't have any fun in heaven. See, that comes from this assumption that fun is only linked with sin, and boredom is always linked with righteousness. See? Well, if that's true, then we have a real problem here at Open Door, folks. Okay? Because the most fun I have ever had in my life has been with God's people, doing God's work, glorifying God's Son. You ever listen to this auditorium about 5 minutes before the church service starts? Sometimes you can't hear yourself think. I mean, there's so much fun going on in here. And so then, at right on the hour, and I try to be prompt, either me or Pastor Paul gets up here, and we make the announcement that, okay, time for you to stop having fun, because we're going to get holy and boring right now for the next 60 minutes, right? Isn't that what this is all about? Being boring? Not at all, okay? There's nothing wrong with experiencing the fun that comes with glorifying the Lord. Now, don't think that I'm naive. I'm fully aware that the Christian life is not always fun. In fact, I would dare say it is not often fun. And in many parts of the world, and for many people throughout church history, there has been very little fun in serving the Lord Jesus Christ. That's true. But we have something that goes beyond fun, folks. See, sin can be fun, for sure, but holiness can be even more fun because holiness contains an important element that sin doesn't have, and that's joy. And that's something that whether you're having fun or not, you can't have joy in the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 116:11, once again. In your presence is fullness of joy. And if you can have that joy now in this life, why wouldn't you have that joy in the next life? Well, of course you will. And if there has been an experience of fun with God's people and doing God's work and glorifying God's Son in this life, well, what do you think it's going to be like in the next life? You've already been told in the scriptures that you will laugh with that wonderful expression of joy. And dare I say, even fun in eternal life. And I would declare that some Christians' faces would crack when they smiled in heaven were it not for their incorruptible bodies. And you'd act like it's a sinful thing to crack a smile now and then. You know, come to church, sit in the pews, and sing all these hymns about what a joy it is. And every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before as they look like this. You gotta be kidding me. Where's the joy in that? Paul certainly didn't live his life that way. God gives every reason to live a life of joy. And you know, it's okay to smile about the fact that you're never going to hell. It's okay to smile about the fact that you have eternal life with God Almighty, not because of you, but because of Him. You didn't have to do anything for it. I'm watching a video today in our Sunday school class and interviewing people on the streets. And what did that one guy say? You know, something about, you know, what is heaven all about? What is that perfection all about? He says, never having to work. Okay? There's a part of me that wants to agree with that, right? The lazy side of me says, yeah, I like that idea, never having to work. Truth is, some of us are lazy that way. Well, if the reality about salvation in Jesus Christ, you don't have to work for it. It's the best thing you could ever have is escape from hell, entrance into heaven with God Almighty, and have the joy that goes with that forevermore. And you didn't have to do a thing to get that. Well, how come we're not smiling about these things? I think we're probably filling our hearts with too many ungodly things, like undue criticism and negativity and worldliness and unholy thoughts And those are the kind of things that pull the joy of Jesus Christ out of you and replace it with those rotten faces that we are in such a habit of making. You know, I think another reason Christians think heaven will be boring? Probably because their Christian lives are boring. Well, folks, that's not God's fault. That's theirs. Living for Christ means what? Well, remember, you can't earn this. Christ has already given you the means to live for him. Okay? But living for him means stepping out of your comfort zone a lot and walking by faith in what he has said and not by sight in what you see or feel. Right? That's what it is to live for Christ. It means you're going to have to get uncomfortable. You're going to have to walk by faith. Its result is inexplicable joy, even in the midst of trial and pain. It can be out-and-out laughter when the sun is shining in your life, but it's also inner peace and contentment when it's raining in your life. Folks, none of this is boring. And it's only going to get better in the next. If you're finding Christian life boring, it may be because you're not really living the Christian life. You maybe aren't really living what God has enabled you to do through his Son, Jesus Christ, and in the power of the Holy Spirit, who does indwell you, by the way, if you know Christ as Savior. You have all the means that God has offered to live for him. There's no boredom in that. Nothing at all boring about living for the Lord. Again, the psalmist said to God, in your presence is fullness of joy. I think that to say heaven is boring is to say God is boring, isn't it? I think the real question is, how is it that God doesn't get bored with us? Do we ever think about that? I mean, we're broken records. You know, how many times do we sin over and over and over again? Same sin. Oh, I'm sorry. I really feel that bad this time, God. Please forgive me. You know? How many times do we continue to fail the lessons that he teaches us repeatedly over and over and over again? We won't learn it. This is probably what Christ meant when he said to his disciples repeatedly, I might add, how long shall I stay with you? I think Christ was getting bored with those guys. It's like, we've gone over this. You should have this down by now, and you still don't have it. I'm ready to move on to B, D, and E, and you're still on A. B, C, and D. My numbers are as bad as my letters, evidently. And Christ got bored. Yeah. You think God gets bored with us? Boy, I do. When did Christ marvel? He marveled when somebody was faithful. Like the centurion says, Christ marveled and said, I have not seen such great faith as this in all of Israel. You see, when you're marveling, you're not bored. You're not bored when you're marveling. I'm sorry. Marvel superheroes ain't got nothing on God. All right? That's all fantasy and fiction. It's not real. Maybe entertaining, but it's not life. What God has to offer, folks, now that's marvelous. That'll cause you to marvel. And you just can't get bored with that. You just make sure you're not boring God. We don't want a bored God, do we? We want a God who marvels because he sees faith and takes pleasure in his children. And then there's this idea that we're going to miss things in this life when we get to glory. Okay, have you ever thought like that? I used to. Okay, I used to think that, well, there's certain things that I really enjoy, and boy, I'm going to miss that in heaven. Okay, I'm going to miss doing that. Well, you know, I hope we've dispelled some of that in this series when we look at glory's going to be the way God designed man to live, and some of the things we do in this life will be perfected in the next. Perfected, not done away with. So there's going to be things in the next life that you won't miss because it'll be part of your glorified life. But still, this idea that, well, I'm looking forward to heaven, but, except for. Well, that leads to misconception number three, and that is the misconception that the things of heaven are somehow a shadow of the things of earth. The things of heaven are somehow a shadow of the things of earth. If you look at Hebrews chapter 8, this was our scripture reading this morning. Hebrews chapter 8, let's consider this. The author is, of course, speaking about the Lord. In verse 1, he says, this is the main point of the things we are saying. We have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. That high priest, of course, is our Savior, Jesus Christ. He's our high priest. Okay. And he says in verse 4, for if he were on earth, he would not be a priest, not a high priest. Okay. Since there are priests, that is, earthly priests, who offer the gifts according to the law. Okay. The temporal things of this life. What did the Old Testament priests offer? They offered animals, okay? And they offered things like grain, and there was even a drink offering. And what do all these offerings have in common? A couple things. Number one, they were temporary, okay? They were temporary. Number two, none of them washed away sin. That's why they had to be offered over and over and over again. They offered the morning offering at the temple, but it was temporary because come nightfall, they had to offer another one. Then they did it again the next day and did this every day. And then there were annual offerings, and there were just consistent offerings because they were all temporary. None of them washed away the sins of people. They were just pictures. Right? They were earthly offerings that pictured a heavenly offering. And that heavenly offering was Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. And so in verse 5, these priests, they were those who serve the copy and shadow of the heavenly things. Which is the shadow? And which casts the shadow? Which is the model of the real thing? We get the idea that this earth and this life that we live now is where it's at. And then when we get to heaven, that somehow is going to be a shadow of what we're doing now. Quite the other way around, folks. This earth is the model of where we're going. You know, one of my temporal dreams that will probably not happen because cars get more and more expensive as they age, but I would love to restore a 1971 Ford F-150 with a long box, not a short, had the toolbox underneath the passenger door. I would just love to restore one of those. Like I said, that's getting more and more expensive to do. But you know, you can get models. You can buy models from Revell and put them together, paint them. Yeah, what if I get a model of one of those trucks and do the best I can and put it up on a shelf and have my little model of a 1971 Ford F-150 pickup truck? And what if somebody were to come along and offer to trade me and take my model and in its place give me a real, restored F-150 with a long box and the toolbox behind the passenger door already restored so I don't have to do a thing? Would that be a good trade? For me, it would. Absolutely. Deal. And while driving my restored 1971 Ford F-150 with the long box and the toolbox behind the passenger door, I guarantee you, I would not say, boy, I sure do miss my model. No way, man. Keep the model. This is what this is all about, right? Because Revelation 21:4, looking to heaven, says former things have passed away. You're not going to want that stuff anymore. Okay? Your bodies, for instance. You know, Kurt, you want to go in the next life with all that hardware in your knee? No way. You want to go in the next life with those fillings and the bolts that they put in you and the pins from surgeries? You think I want to go into heaven with this metal plate in my head? Yeah. I'm kidding. They stopped using metal a long time ago. They're all synthetic now. But you don't want to go into that into the next life with this stuff. You want to go to where the former things have passed away, because, folks, this life is just a shadow of glory. Glory is where it is really at, and you will not shed tears over things missed from this world. It'll be gone. I know, we tend to think of things like these bodies and the hardships and say, yeah, I'm not going to miss that. It's the other things I'm going to miss, the good things, you know, paddling my canoe, time in my kitchen, whatever it is that brings you joy. You're saying, that's the stuff I'm going to miss. Listen, we're told that the things of this life, even the really good things and those offerings, were good things. They were still just a shadow. Just a shadow. Just a model of what was coming. Your best day on this earth, doing the most glorifying, fun, joyful thing that you can think of, is still nothing but a mere shadow of what's waiting for you in eternity. You're not going to miss this. You won't miss this at all. I think it's understandable why we think that way. We think that way because this life is our only experience, right? This is all we know. But that's why we're looking at what God has to say about heaven, so that we may walk by faith in his word instead of by the sight of our experience. So no, this life won't be missed. In glory, you will not be bored. In the fullness of God's presence, you'll be filled with joy, with laughter, with pleasure, and I don't know, you might even have fun once in a while in heaven. Of course, if you're here today and you're not sure if you're going to heaven, or you are sure you're going to heaven because you think that you're good enough based on how you live your life and God will accept you, let me just share something with you. The scriptures are so very clear that there are none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. Meaning every man, woman, child, every person in world history, from Adam and Eve to that baby that was born just right now, is separated from God because of sin. And you cannot work your way. Not by works are we saved, says the Bible. No matter how hard you try, you're like a hamster on a wheel, just spinning round and round and round and going absolutely nowhere, you will still fall short. And the Bible is so clear that the wages for your sin is death, meaning spiritual death, eternity in hell. But Jesus Christ cares so much about you and loved you so much that he gave his life on a cross, and he took your sin and paid your debt for you so that you don't have to pay it with your life in eternal hell. He says you have only to believe in Jesus Christ and repent from your sin. That is, turn from sin, turn to him in complete faith that he is risen from the dead to save you. He died with you in mind. He rose with you in mind. He lives today. And he's knocking on the door. And he says in Revelation, if anyone hears his voice and opens the door, he will come in and dine with him and you with the Lord. He'll dine with you. He'll be with you. He'll save you if you'll trust in him. And if that's who you trust for eternal life, the scripture says you'll be saved, heaven awaits. Truly, heaven awaits. Not because of what you've done, because of what he has done on that cross. I encourage you, as we sing our last song, if you have never trusted Christ, you've been trusting in yourself, where you sit, you can turn to the Lord in complete faith and say, God, I am not believing in myself to get to heaven anymore. I'm believing in your Son, Jesus Christ, and what he did. I'm going to look forward to that eternal heaven because you saved me. I didn't save myself. You can say something like that to God, anything in your own words that expresses you believe in Christ who died and rose for you, and you don't believe in yourself to get to heaven anymore. And heaven will wait for you. Father, I just pray that if there's anyone in this room right now, a man, a woman, maybe a young person, a teenager, a child who has not yet trusted Christ or is right now thinking about it and wants to trust Christ, that you will impress upon his or her mind the need to just turn to you in complete faith that Christ is the only way to heaven and out of hell. Pray that you'll press upon that heart right now, even as we speak. Keep your eyes closed. If that's you, you say, you know what, I am thinking about this, or I just prayed a prayer like that. I just put my trust in Christ, so I know I'm now one of his children. If that's you, would you just raise your hand, put it back down? I'm not going to point you out. I'm not going to ask you to come forward. I'm just wanting to know if anyone's thinking about this or has trusted the Lord. Or if you're nervous about that, catch me afterwards if you want to talk about it. If you trust the Lord in private, tell me. I would love to know. And I'd love to just pray for you and encourage you. If you know the Lord is your Savior and you've been thinking that this life is where it's really at and heaven is just a model, I hope today you've had a change of heart and say, you know what, I'm going to let the real thing of heaven affect the way I live in the model of earth now. Father, give us encouragement and joy and pleasure and peace, love and laughter right now in this life, knowing that that will only increase in the next. We thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen.